Hoopheads podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Hoopheads podcast. This is Jason Sonkel. Over the last 6 months, Mike Klinzing and I have been blessed with the opportunity to interview a whole lot of coaches and influential people within the game of basketball. We are excited to continue to do so in 2019. Today's episode will be the first episode in a brand new series called Coach's Corner. In this series, we will hear from a variety of coaches from across the country on a specific topic that we feel is important for parents, coaches, and players alike. Question for the coaches in this installment was, how do you keep all players engaged that are not seeing as much playing time as the other players on the team? We hope you enjoy this brand new episode of the Hoopheads podcast.
This is Don Showalter with USA Basketball. The question is, how do you keep kids involved that aren't really playing much? Well, I think there's a couple things you can do. First of all, when being interviewed as a coach, you always mention the guys on the bench. You keep them involved. You keep them thinking that they're really an important part of the team, which they are. And if you can mention them in the paper for the great practice they had, for getting the starters ready to play, that always goes a long way. I think the next thing you do is, I think while the game is going on, you talk to those kids. You might go down to the end of the bench as you're walking down and just say, make sure you're watching what's going on in the court. Keep them involved in the game. And I think the last thing is you always, in practice, you always try to give, point out things that they are really doing well in front of everybody on the team. That I think that goes a long way to keeping them involved as well. I may stop practice and say, you know, had it not been for Billy, who never plays, but yet he comes out to practice every day and gives it all he has. This is an example of being a great teammate and making the people in front of you better. Those kids are going to go feel really good about themselves and feel that they are a part of the team.
Warrensville Heights varsity head coach and athletic director, Brian Swift.
To keep kids engaged that don't get as much playing time is a very, very good skill that I believe most coaches in basketball should have. It's funny that currently I was going through a situation where one of my kids, who's a very, very good kid, 4.0 student, not as talented as some of the other guys, but just a very quality young man. You know, he felt that, you know, he really wasn't contributing, wasn't feeling very important to the team. And I had a good conversation with him and helped him understand his value. And I explained to him, I said, if you really think about it, none of the kids really make fun of you because you don't play as much. And the reason why is because they respect who you are as a person. So I helped him understand his value to the team really may not be scoring the ball or getting a lot of assists and things like that, but just being a great teammate. I used the reference of an NFL backup quarterback as his role. You know, a lot of NFL quarterbacks may not play at all, but those guys, especially the veteran backup quarterbacks. I saw a clip with Andrew Luck, and they use, I think, Matt Hasselbeck as an example. He was the veteran quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts when Andrew Luck was a young guy. So, you know, him in that role, he knew Luck was the guy. He was the starter. He was the future of the franchise. But his role was just to kind of coach him up, be a great teammate to him, and lead by example. And I think that's the role that you kind of have to give certain guys that don't play as much on your team. Just empower them and help them feel like that they may not play as much, but them being a great teammate and an asset to other teammates is very valuable to any team.
This is Scott Roussas from Covington Catholic High School in Covington, Kentucky. And this first question of the roundtable episode is, how do you keep your kids that aren't getting a lot of playing time engaged and feeling like valuable members of the team? What I've learned to do over the years is to make sure that expectations, both of the player and the parents, are accurately kind of set in having meetings with both the parents and the players. Typically, the players we go first and make sure that they understand their role on the team. And that may be a role where they're not going to play at all. They're basically going to be practice players. And are you okay with that situation? If you're not, probably the best case is not to play. But we also have to make sure that the parents, because you know they are so involved these days, are understanding of that exact expectation and role of the player. So it doesn't mean that things can't change in the future. There's going to be times where injuries or things happen, and that guy that might be the 13th, 14th, 15th guy now all of a sudden has to play because we got injuries or something like that. So we never tell them that that's the ceiling. We say that's the floor. That's where you're at right now. Doesn't mean you can't move yourself ahead into one of those spots of getting more playing time. But at this point in time and at where we see you is, you know, a guy that is going to be a valuable member of the team, but also has to realize that, realistic of expectations of playing and things like that. So we just kind of come out and meet with the parents and meet with the individual player, especially first, and make sure that they're good. Some kids over the years have decided not to play, and probably to the betterment of them and their parent situation. Others have decided to stick around maybe for a year and then kind of lose it later on. So, but we're pretty direct with them. And try to tell them the truth right from the get-go.
Christ School varsity head coach Jeff DePelto.
All right, guys. Talking with my coaching staff about ways that we work to keep our players who aren't seeing a lot of playing time engaged, we came up with three ideas here. The first was to really challenge them in practice to compete and make other guys on the team better. The second was to spend time with them on and off the court individually to show them that you truly value them and we want them to get better and to really work with them on areas that are going to help them moving forward. And the third way was to reinforce opportunities for growth using examples of guys who've been in similar roles that they're currently in and talk about how they've grown. So that's what we've came up with, and we're looking forward to hearing some of our other podcasters' contributions to this one. Thanks.
Lane Tech High School varsity head coach Nick Legalbo.
I think it's important when you have a guy who's maybe not getting as much playing time to make sure you're having active conversations with him, letting him know that he was selected to be a part of the team for a reason and that everyone has a role and it's important to be all-stars in your role. We have a few guys right now who are in that role, and to be honest with you, I myself was in that role. So I always tell our guys that I don't have a lot of sympathy for you, but I do have empathy for you. I understand what it feels like to come every day with your hard head on and put in the work and maybe not see the minutes and not see all the hard work come to fruition. But that doesn't mean you're not a valued member of our team. We've been talking a lot this year about what leadership means. And leadership just means the ability to positively impact somebody else. And no matter if you're the first guy starting, the first guy off the bench, or the last guy on the bench, you can be a leader. And right now, one of our best leaders is a guy who doesn't really play a whole lot, but he's our third string point guard, and he goes at the first two guys every day in practice. He understands the game at a really high level. He's every day coming up to me with thoughts on how we can better prepare for our next game. And again, he's an active leader in our program, and I think he's an all-star in his role, you know, and we make a big deal out of that every time he goes to practice and does something special. We make sure guys know, you know, that this young man sacrificing a lot, doesn't always see all the accolades, but he loves what he does. He loves being part of our program. And I think it's important to continue to have those meetings with the guys one-on-one so they don't lose sight of that. And that they also know that you see that, you know, and I think in practice sometimes it's important to mix things up and take that guy and throw him with the first unit and let him get some reps and let him know that he's getting his shots. Because again, if you never gave a guy's chances to play, you know, I think you could hurt that rapport, even if they are an all-star in their role.
Mount Vernon varsity girls head coach Matt Hattie.
I think it starts and ends with how you coach those kids in practice. I think when you coach every kid on your roster the same, regardless of where they stand from a playing time standpoint, I think that is a huge part of making kids, all kids, understand that they're an important part of your program and what you're trying to do when you hold them to the exact same standards and accountabilities that you would some of your top players. I also think the things that you do off the floor with your kids are an important part of this too, allowing kids to be together as a whole team outside of a basketball setting or situation, including all your kids involved in your program in those things, in those team building activities, and making them just feel that just being a part of your basketball program is something special and something that they want to continue to do regardless of their playing time or overall status on the team are really important.
IMG Academy varsity head coach Bobby Jordan.
This is an excellent question, and I think the first way that I normally address this throughout the season, and the first thing we always talk about before the season, is holding players accountable. And you know, I think as a coach, one of the best things you can do for your team, and that can really help you get the buy-in from your team, is holding all your players accountable the same, whether it be the best player on your team or the last guy on the bench. Throughout your practices, you need to demand the same from each and every individual on your team. I feel like when you do that, you not only make everybody realize that everybody is treated the same, but you also get that buy-in from guys who necessarily don't get as much playing time. Now they feel like they're being treated just like the best player on the team, or one of the five starters, or just, you know, somebody that doesn't really make a big impact on game day but can make an impact on practice. And the last thing that I like to do is really acknowledge those guys who don't really get as much playing time, you know, but are valuable members of our team after games, whether if they dove on the floor for a loose ball, hit a shot at the end of the game, you know, just really acknowledging the little things that guys do throughout the course of the game that don't necessarily show up in the box score but really help your team win.
Bolingbrook varsity head coach Rob Brost.
First off, I think it's important to set clear expectations for your team that no one, including the starters and even your star player, are going to play the minutes that they think they deserve or as much as they want. And so right from the get-go, we set clear expectations that everybody wants more minutes. Everyone wants to play more, and no one is going to be satisfied with the minutes that they get. And that's the type of players that we want. We want players like that. But that being said, we always put the team first and the needs of the team before individual needs. Some specific things we do as a team after setting those clear expectations over and over are we have individual meetings with all of our players at least once a month to discuss their role, to discuss what they can do better, to discuss classwork, to discuss just their life in general. And I think when kids understand that you care about them more than just as basketball players, they'll perform for you no matter their role. And I think that's a critical part of everyone being included. We also do a lot of team activities. Some of the things we've done in the past off the floor, bowling. I have the kids over to my house, the team over to my house several times during the year. We've done Christmas gifts in the past where each player is paired with another, and then you present a Christmas gift to the other player, and you explain why you got that gift for that player. And another thing we've done that's been very successful for us is we make every player get up in front of the team and give us, the team, their one word for the year, what they're going to kind of live by or what they're going to hang their hat on for the season. And then if you have issues with that particular player during the season, you know, you go back to what their one word is and you ask, like a lot of them will say, some of them, I should say, a good example would be a good teammate. Somebody will say that they want to be a teammate, good teammate for their word for the year. And then we'll talk about as being a good teammate, are you actually doing that during their individual meeting? Another one example would be intensity. somebody's word might be intensity. And are they bringing the intensity every day in practice, regardless of their role? So those are just a few things that we do at Bolingbrook High School to, you know, make sure that everyone feels like they're part of the team. And it's hard. And we make it clear to our players, like I said at the beginning, that it's hard to be a part of a team and to sacrifice. But at the end of the day, we have to always do what's best for the team over what is best for the individual.
Director of Unleashed Potential and former varsity head coach, Joe Stasizian.
I think you have to keep, you know, all members of your team engaged. I like to call it celebrating the role players. You know, a lot of times kids that aren't engaged during games feel like they're not part of the team. So I think communication is the biggest thing. You need to sit kids down, call them in every now and then, and just get like a heartbeat of the team by talking to guys that are maybe at the end of your bench and make them feel like their input's very valuable. You know, I always said when I coached that, you know, you never know when your number is going to be called. Had situations where we got in foul trouble, kids got injured, and we're digging down to the 10th, 11th guy in the team, and literally had to put one in the game, and came down to crunch time, and they knew how to run the play that we were running, and they ran it to perfection, and the kid actually hit a shot at the buzzer to win the game. And I just think that, you know, you just have to always communicate to the kids on the bench, kids are maybe not getting as much time, you know, how important they are and how valuable they are, and bring them in and just give them a little energy every now and then, and have them, you know, they can all be captains. Just because they're not elected captain, they can all be leaders of the team in some way or some form. I was recently down at Duke talking to the strength coach, you know, down at Duke about this year's team with all the freshmen. And he's had conversations with some of the guys coming back, guys that don't have the big statistics, guys that aren't getting a lot of playing time, but guys that have been in the program and know how the program's run and the standards that they have down there at Duke. And he said that he had great conversations with those guys and said, hey, you guys can still be leaders, even though you're not going to be the guys getting the most minutes, the guys making the most shots, the guys getting the most playing time and points. You could still lead the freshmen by showing them how things are done and being good teammates and good team guys. And sometimes I would designate a guy on the bench to be the bench leader or the bench captain. I think I've done that in the past, and I think that's very helpful too, to give them a role that they could be leading the guys on the bench and keeping everybody engaged. So I just think that's another way that you can do it to keep people involved in the game that maybe aren't getting the minutes. And again, I think you really got to celebrate those guys that have a role on the team, whatever that role may be. We used to have, you know, like we'd have green and a gold team in practice. And the gold team would have a leader. We designate somebody the leader of the gold team that would make sure that their teammates are doing everything they're supposed to be doing in practice to make the team better, and the green team, which is the starting team, to make them better. So we would have like a leader or a captain of the gold team, and that would be their role. So I think you really have to do that. You look for ways to celebrate the role player.
Pure Sweat basketball trainer, John Beck.
First off, I want to thank Mike and Jason for having me on as a guest on the podcast, and for reaching out to me and letting me be on this panel of great coaches, you know, for your roundtable episode for all of our listeners. I have thoroughly enjoyed listening to all the different speakers that you guys have had on, great coaches, and very blessed to be a part of that. So on your first question, roundtable episode question number one, you guys asked, how do you keep your kids that aren't getting a lot of playing time engaged and feeling like valuable members of the team? So I think, you know, first and foremost, I believe as coaches, the more that we know about who we coach, I think the more effective that we will be with how we coach them. So I think first and foremost, you have to know them inside and out. I think the more that we know about players, about people that we lead, the more effective that our leadership will ultimately be. So I think the number one thing is just to build real, authentic, caring relationships, and that's totally regardless of how good the player is. I think it's not just about treating everyone with respect, caring about them as people, caring about their lives, about their hopes, their dreams, their future plans, their families. But I think I think on the flip side of that, it's also about not showing, you know, a strong favoritism towards other players on the team. I think as coaches, we all have, you know, favorites, and those are usually the players who are, you know, unselfish. They work really hard. They have a great attitude. They take care of their business on and off the floor. You know, they care about the team. But you also can hurt a player's feelings by showing, you know, a strong favoritism over other players, especially if maybe that player's the star or that player's, you know, more skilled or just a better player, but they're not quite as good in some other areas. I think that just by showing that strong favoritism, you get players that, you know, you hurt their feelings. I think this is especially true with girls, you know, coaching both boys and girls. I think girls, you can really get into their feelings when you do that. I think the second thing as coaches is we have to be completely honest. We have to have those tough conversations about what their role is. I think that players sometimes don't want to hear what you think and what your coaching staff thinks their role is, but I think that ultimately they will have a lot more respect for you as a coach if you clearly define what it is and what you think about them. You have to be very transparent about it, and you just have to, you know, let them know what it is their role is and how it's going to help, you know, the team. I think that it's ultimately important, too, to make sure that they understand that their role, regardless of what it is, if they never play, if they're just a practice player, if they're the sixth man, if they're, you know, if they're the starter, that their role is just as important as anyone else's role on that team for that team to be successful. And I just think it's also great when you can tell kids that not only can they be incredible on their role and it helps serve the team, I think that you can try to get them motivated by talking about they can be the best in the state or the best in the district or the best in the conference at their role. They can be the best sixth man in the league. They could be the best, you know, cheerleader on the bench that gets students and fans engaged and keeps the bench engaged. They can be the best senior leader, the best senior leader, you know, in the entire league or in the state. Whatever that role is, just know that it matters and it's absolutely paramount to the team's success. And then I think putting all that in, you know, a nice little ball is it ultimately comes down to what is the team's culture. I think the best cultures are, you know, they're very proactive. They create an environment that fosters intrinsic motivation where players want to come in every day. They want to work to improve as a player. They want to work to improve as a teammate. You know, I always like to say that players should try to perfect the role that they're in while working for the role that they want. And I think that's just extremely important. That it has to be fun. You know, the culture has to be, yeah, we're going to work hard. Yeah, there's going to be tough days. But it also has to be fun. Players have to want to come to practice. And I think that's the best culture you can have is where they want to come and work to improve and work to build upon the role that they have. I hope that helps answer your guys' question. Again, thank you so much for having me on. And I hope that everyone is off to a great new year.
Former Lake Chelan varsity head coach, Joe Harris Sr.
How do you keep your kids engaged and feeling like valuable members of the team? A question many coaches struggle with. This starts with what you believe, a culture you create throughout your program. Youth through varsity, coaches to managers to ball boys. No one is bigger than the team. You learn to serve your teammates with unselfish motives. Coaches are teachers. As such, we have to cultivate this each day through our actions and words with everyone involved in our program. Creating a belief that you don't care if you're the one who sets the screen or the one who hits the winning jumper. Because fulfilling your role, whatever that role is most important. Your respect for the game outweighs your personal pride. As coaches, we should never underestimate the impact we will have on our team by treating our players fairly, not equal, but fair. Your communication has to be open and honest within your program. If the conversations are honest and authentic with each person in your program, you build trust. When there is trust, each day you can challenge and encourage your players, all of them. You can plant the seeds of tradition, tell stories of former teams, players, and greatness within your program, and use humor, all of this to overcome the daily rigor of practice, games, and life outside the gym. Something as little as having all players stand as a sub comes off the floor, all eyes in on each huddle, do make a difference. Being a great teammate, then, takes work every day at the little things that matter. In essence, you're holding the rope for each other.
Dr. Dish Marketing Lead and NBA Skills Trainer, Jefferson Mason.
So first off, I'll start off by saying I think that the main focus here is communication. You know, players and coaches understanding where they're at within the team and what is required of them to be successful on the team. The second thing I would say is oftentimes coaches fall into a routine during practice where they have all of the starters on maybe one team and all of the second stringers or the bench players on another team as maybe your scout team. Oftentimes when you do this, what happens is those second stringers or those bench players don't really feel a part of the team. They almost feel as if they're, you know, only competing against those starting five, and there can kind of be a rift at times between the players on the team. You know, I was very fortunate when I was in college to have a coach that really mixed up our players each practice. So, you know, sometimes we'd have starters and bench players. Sometimes we'd have all the starters versus, you know, the second stringers. Whatever the case was, is we really never knew who we were going to be competing with or against come practice time. And what that did is it gave everybody the opportunity to show what they had. It made everybody on the team feel like, I can come into practice, I can work hard, and I can play hard, and I can show what I have so that when my time does come to play, step on the court, I'm ready to go. And when every player feels like they have an opportunity to either get better or show what they have, they're going to be engaged, whether that's in practice or come game time. One of the most difficult things to do is to make sure that your players are aware of where they're at and what you need from them. But once again, communication is huge, and that's between the player and the parent as well. Letting the player know, hey, when you're on the bench, you can scout the other team. We'd love you to be able to help, you know, your teammates see things that maybe they can't see. You're almost an extension of the coach on the bench while the game is going on. And then also to be mentally engaged so that when your time is called, whether it's 2 or 3 minutes, you're ready to go. Coaches, it's very, very important also too to reward these players and give them the opportunities. If they're doing everything that you say and nothing changes from you on your end, then what's the benefit in it for the player? So you have to hold true to your word in what you're telling your players and how you're communicating to them. Otherwise, they won't be engaged come game time.
President and CEO of 720 Sports Group and former Division I head coach John Schulman.
I would say number one, you better engage them in practice, before practice, after practice, while you're stretching before, whatever you're doing before, make a huge effort to go up and have a conversation, not just say what's going on, but have a conversation, have a 30-second to 45-second one-on-one conversation with that young man or young lady, and make sure all kids want is to feel valued. And there's nothing more valuable than talking face-to-face, looking them in the eye and asking them truly how their day is going, what's going on, really appreciate you, really appreciate your effort on the court. So I think the biggest thing is making sure that, you know, you have a relationship with those people that are playing all the time because you're involved with them all the time. Make sure that you're spending time with those other young guys or young ladies before or after practice that you're doing it. But also, I think you can do this as a coach. I think you can have a group where all they do is run a minute of offense, or they're running, or they're playing a 1-3-1, or they're pressing. Play them in the last minute of the first quarter, in the second quarter. Play them in a minute period. Calm the troopers. Make them feel valued. Make them feel important. I never understood why you couldn't play a group five guys and playing a 1-3-1 for a minute, or running your offense and not even shooting a ball, but running your offense for a minute. Make them feel important. Call them the troopers. Call them whatever you want to call them. Make sure they feel important. There's no doubt in high school basketball or college that you could play them right before a media timeout, or you could play them in front of a quarter. I think that's a legit way on making sure the kids feel important.
We hope you enjoyed this first edition of the Coach's Corner Roundtable. Jason and I want to thank all the coaches you heard on this episode for being willing to share their knowledge of the game with you, our audience. The Coach's Corner Roundtable will be a monthly feature on the Hoopheads podcast. If you have a question you'd like our coaches to answer, please shoot us an email at hoopheadspod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.